When we are persecuted, as it says, we're not to fear. It's going to happen. And John 15, 14 to 20 tells us that if we have chosen Jesus as our Savior, the world is going to hate us just like it hated Him. So if you wouldn't mind, Philip, reading that for us, John 15, 14 to 20. So notice Jesus says that they hated Him, they're going to hate His followers. And He also said, they persecuted Me, they're going to persecute you. And we'll talk more about this later, but if we never face persecution, it's not because it wasn't prophesied. It's because maybe we're not being the kind of Christian we're called to be, which is a testimony and a witness for Jesus Christ. Amen. And so let's look at a couple more, and then we'll dive into these choices, non-biblical and biblical. 2 Timothy 3:12 says, "Yea, and all that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution." So there's a promise that we can sink our teeth into. Amen. All that live godly. And then 1 John 3:13, "Marvel not, my brethren, if the world hate you." So just laying some groundwork there, does the Bible teach that we're going to face persecution as Christians? Yes, it does. No question about it. The Bible makes it very clear. So when it happens, what should we do? What should be our response? And today we'll look at the biblical and non-biblical responses. Let's start with the non-biblical like we always do. Number one, retaliate. That's always what the flesh wants to do, isn't it? Just since we were kids, he hit me first. So I had to hit him back, right? And that is not a biblical choice. It's a non-biblical choice. If someone persecutes us or mistreats us in any way, we're not to hit back. We're not to retaliate verbally or physically. Did Jesus? Do we ever see an example in the scriptures where Jesus retaliated against persecution? Just isn't there, is it? He said, as a lamb to the slaughter, describing his first time when he came to the earth. So, Titus 3:2, Brother Brent, could you read that for us?
"To speak evil of no man, to be no rulers, but gentle, showing all meekness unto all men."
So that verse, Titus 3:2, that doesn't just apply to Christians, does it? That even applies to anyone, that we're not to speak evil. So if someone persecutes us, if the world wrongs us, an unsaved person, we're not to retaliate by speaking evil of that person. We're just not to do it. It's not scriptural. It is sin. And, of course, the Bible tells us in Romans 12, "Recompense to no man evil for evil." We're never to render evil for evil in the scriptures. That's not a Christian thing. When someone wrongs us, what did Jesus say? When someone smites the cheek, what are we supposed to do? Smite their cheek? Is that what the Bible says?
Turn the other cheek.
Thank you, Jan.
Turn the other cheek.
I knew you could help us out there. So the first non-biblical response is retaliation. We don't hit back, fight back, attack them verbally, anything. We just don't do it. The second non-biblical response is to stop witnessing. Is to say, well, because this has happened, I don't want it to happen again, so I'm going to stop witnessing. I'm going to stop standing for Christ. I'm just going to become one of those secret Christians. Also not God's will, is it? And we even have an example here in John 12 of people who did that very thing. If you could read that for us, Nathan, John 12, 42 and 43. That's a scary statement, that last one, isn't it? They love the praise of men more than the praise of God. And so it says, these are rulers. These aren't just the common folk. These are rulers of the Jews. It says many believed on him. They actually believed. Yes, Jesus is our Messiah. He is the one. But they were more afraid of being kicked out of the synagogue than they were of the consequences of disobeying God, which he commands us to share our faith. And so they kept quiet. They loved the praise of men more than the praise of God. That's not our response, should not be our response to say, well, I'm going to keep quiet about my Christianity because someone has hurt me, someone has persecuted me, someone's attacked me, therefore I'm going to stop witnessing. That's not the right response. Paul said here in 2 Timothy 1:7, God hath not given us the spirit of fear. Amen? But of power and of love and of a sound mind. Why would we stop witnessing? It's always about fear. And doesn't the Bible say, Proverbs 29:25, the fear of man bringeth a snare? And so, if we become afraid, if we say, I'm going to stop witnessing because I'm afraid of the potential consequences, that is not a biblical response to a persecution, an attack from the world. John 7:13, howbeit no man spake openly of him for fear of the Jews. So along the way in Christ's ministry, there were people who believed, but because they were so afraid of the consequences, they did not confess Jesus Christ. And that's all about fear, isn't it? The fear of potential attacks, the fear of potential consequences, not a biblical response to stop witnessing because of fear or to in any way try to retaliate when we are persecuted. Now, we're only talking today about the unsaved persecuting us for being Christians. Thoughts or questions about these first two non-biblical responses to persecution? Anybody? Then number three, get offended. Mark 4:16-17. Isaiah, could you read that for us?
And these are likewise which are sown on the stony ground, who when they have heard the word, immediately receive it with gladness, and have no root in themselves, and so endure it for a time afterward, when affliction or persecution arises, for the word's sake, immediately they are offended.
Notice it says, when persecution arises for the word's sake. It's always about this, isn't it? This is the authority. This is from our Creator. This is where the gospel comes from. And when we get persecuted for giving people this, God says, this isn't the kind of heart He wants as far as the seed that's been planted in our hearts. He doesn't want us to be offended. Well, this isn't right that I should be treated this way, and we get offended. And of course, if we get offended, now God's going to have to deal with us, isn't He, for getting offended. So God promised us that we will face persecution, no question about it. We see it all through the scriptures. Jesus said, it's going to happen. They hated me, they're going to hate you. They persecuted me, they're going to persecute you. Don't retaliate. I mean, let's say you're out door knocking, you're witnessing or whatever. Someone starts screaming at you for knocking on the door or whatever. What is our first temptation? To yell back, isn't it? But that's not how we should respond, is to retaliate or render evil for evil. Another temptation is to say, well, that's it. I'm going to stop witnessing. I'm going to stop standing for Jesus out of fear. Or we get offended. But all of those lead to disobedience because we are commanded as God's children to stand for Jesus and to tell others about Jesus. Amen? So thoughts or questions about the non-biblical responses to persecution? All right, so what should we do? Rejoice. Amen? You're going to be amazed how many times the Bible tells us to rejoice when we get persecuted. Now, is that what the flesh tends to... Is that our tend to be our first response when we get persecuted? Of course not. But that's when following Jesus and living in the Spirit kicks in, isn't it? We're to rejoice when it happens. Why? Well, it's God's will. And we're suffering the persecution not because of us. This isn't personal. They're not attacking us because of us. They're attacking us because of our Savior. Amen? Remember that. And when it happens, we rejoice because we have just been allowed to suffer for Him, as we will see. So let's look at some scriptures on this. Matthew 5, 10 through 12. Howard, if you could read that for us.
Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they when men shall revile you and persecute you and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is our reward, your reward in heaven, for so persecuted they the prophets which were before you.
So verse 12, rejoice and be exceeding glad. When what? Men shall revile you and persecute you and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely. For my sake, what? Rejoice and be exceeding glad. That's how we should respond. Rejoice. Let's look at another one. Luke chapter 6, 22 and 23. Philip, if you could read those for us. Luke 6, 22 and 23. This is one of my favorites.
Blessed are ye when men shall hate you, when they shall separate you from the company, and shall reproach you, and cast out your name as evil for the Son of Man's sake. Rejoice ye in that day, and leap for joy, for behold, your reward is great in heaven, when the like manner did their fathers unto the prophets.
Okay, so I was going to demonstrate, but I'm over 60 now, and that'd be really bad to break a leg, before I have to preach. So is there anyone here willing to come up and show us what a leap for joy looks like? I used to be able to do it, where you jump up and you tap your two heels together in the air before you land back down. Any of you young ones able to do that? Or have you ever done it before? Nobody can do it? Wow. I thought at least I'd have one volunteer to come and show us what a leap for joy looks like. You know what? It's in the Bible. Amen? Leap for joy. Why should we leap for joy? Well, what does it say? Great is your reward is great in heaven. We talk sometimes about earning rewards in heaven. God says one of the best ways to earn rewards in heaven is to serve Jesus, witness for Jesus, and when we get persecuted for it, God will reward us one day for that. And that should make us leap for joy. Leap for joy. Now, I'm not going to demonstrate, because I would surely fall down. Anyway, rejoice ye in that day and leap for joy. And that's the Gospels. Let's move on to the book of Acts, Acts chapter 5 and verse 41. Brent, if you could read that for us. Now, this is right after the disciples have been told to stop preaching in the name of Jesus by the religious leaders in Jerusalem. And just before they let them go, they gave them a good beating. And of course, in Bible days, that wasn't just like an easy beating. That would have been a major beating. And look what their response was, Acts 5:41.
And they departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name.
Isn't that beautiful? Rejoicing that they were counted worthy. What a perspective. Thank you, Lord, that you count me worthy to suffer shame for your name. Rejoicing after just getting a beating and told to stop preaching in the name of Jesus. So that's the book of Acts. And then we get to 1 Peter. chapter 4, let's look at verses 13 and 14. Philip, you just read, right? Okay, so come over here and pick on Nathan. If you could read those two verses for us. 1 Peter 4, 13 and 14. So there it is again. Rejoice. Verse 14. Happy are ye. Now this is when we get reproached for witnessing and standing for Jesus. Now if we go out and we're trying to witness for Jesus, but we're a jerk about it, and we're mean and rude to people, doesn't count. Amen? We were sent forth as lambs. As sheep in the midst of wolves. We're not sent out to intentionally try to provoke people to mistreat us so that we can turn around and say, look at that, I just got mistreated. No, it doesn't work that way. We're to be gentle. We're to be meek. Servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men. Amen? And if we are gentle, but we are giving people the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ, and we get reproached for it, God says, be glad with exceeding joy. Verse 14, happy are ye. God is glorified, it says. So our first response is to rejoice. Thank you, Lord, like the disciples did in Acts. Rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. That's such a beautiful statement. Thoughts or questions about number one, how to respond when persecuted? The biblical response, number one, is to rejoice. And if you're capable, leap for joy. Don't try it, Howard.
All right.
Number two. Were there any thoughts or questions? Trust God. Amen. Trust God. Is God in control of our lives? Yes. That was a rhetorical question. Amen. Which means that if we are persecuted, God knew it. God allowed it. Trust him. Luke 12, 11 and 12. Isaiah, could you read that for us?
And when they bring you unto the synagogues, and unto magistrates and powers, take heed no thought how or what thing ye shall answer, or what ye shall say, for the Holy Ghost shall teach you in the same power what ye always say.
Trust God. Amen? Anyone who's been saved a while and has had opportunity to witness to people, especially in their home, but even in other situations, I'm talking outside of church, has been through the same experience that we've all been through, and that is you're witnessing to someone, they ask a question, you answer the question, and when it's all done, and whether they got saved or not, you walk away and you say, wow, I didn't even know I knew that answer. How did that work? Well, that's when the Holy Ghost came and helped you. And God promised to do that for us. Now, this only counts when we're witnessing, when we're facing persecution. But God said, don't ponder what to say. That's when the Holy Ghost is going to teach you what to say. What a blessing. In Acts 6:10, it says, and they were not able to resist the wisdom and the spirit by which he spake. This wasn't a highly educated person. This was Stephen. But they couldn't resist what he had to say. Why? Because he was filled with the Holy Ghost. And it was God speaking through him. Amen? They couldn't resist it. So what they do? They stoned him to death. They couldn't resist what he had to say. It brought conviction. They didn't respond by getting saved. They instead responded by silencing the speaker, by stoning him to death and sending him to heaven early. But in the end, if we will choose to rejoice, if we'll choose to trust God, the end is always the same. It means we're going to keep going, we're going to keep witnessing, and more people are going to hear the gospel. If we instead, out of fear, stop witnessing, or we back off, then you just stopped that line of the gospel going on through you. And lastly, we give glory to God, which we've already looked at, but As it says, if any man suffer as a Christian, so this same passage says, if you suffer because you've broken the law, you can't rejoice. You're supposed to suffer when you break the law, either by going to jail or whatever. But if you suffer as a Christian, if you suffer for living for Jesus, what are you supposed to do? Glorify God. Give God the glory. Amen? He's worthy of all glory. Give God the glory. Philippians 3:10, that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His sufferings, being made conformable unto His death. The fellowship of His sufferings. Give God the glory. And so that is our two paths that we can take when we get persecuted for living for Jesus. If we never get persecuted, it's not because God didn't say it wouldn't happen. It's because we are not living for Christ like we should. And we're not witnessing like we should. Because God said, all that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. That's a promise. So we don't retaliate, we don't stop witnessing out of fear, and we don't get offended. But we do rejoice, we do trust the Lord, and we do give glory to God. Now, one thing I wanted to add in here that Roy didn't get a chance to change because he had to go back to Hamilton. But under trust God, we also should pray for the people that have persecuted us. And I meant to put that in here, but let's look at some verses on that. Luke 6, 27 and 28. I lost track of who's... Is it your turn, Howard?
I think so.
Again?
If you, what was it, sorry?
Luke 6, 27 and 28. So, trust God and pray for them. We'll change that if you're taking notes.
But I say unto you, which hear, love your enemies, do good to them which hate you, bless them that curse you, and pray for them which despisefully use you.
And verse 28, too.
Oh.
How about 27? Did you read that one too?
But I say unto you,
it's short. So, what is it telling us to do? As we've talked about our response to God, give Him glory, rejoice, and trust Him. But relative to the people that have wronged us, we're not to retaliate, but we are to what? Pray for them. Amen? Now, this is true in all areas of Christianity. If you're struggling with bitterness, with someone that's wronged you, you know one of the best things you can do is pray for that person. Genuinely pray for God to bless them. It's hard to be angry with someone that you're praying for, isn't it? And that's one of the reasons why Jesus told us to do it. So the opposite of retaliate is not only... to not retaliate, but to actually pray, as we just read here in Luke 6, to pray for that person. And don't just pray, oh, God bless them. No, genuinely pray for that person. Amen? Of course, if they're unsaved, pray for their soul, pray for their salvation. But pray for God to bless them. That's what it says in the Scriptures, isn't it? Pray for our enemies. Bless them which misuse you. Could you read it again, Howard? Luke 6, 27, 28, because this is a very important truth.
But I say unto you, which hear, love your enemies, do good to them which hate you, bless them that curse you, and pray for them which despitefully use you.
Pray for them which despitefully use you. Bless them. So the opposite of retaliate. Amen? I'm sorry that didn't make it in here. Thoughts or questions? What to do when we are persecuted? Anything at all? And if we're never persecuted, it's because we're being one of like those ones in John chapter 12, right? That didn't want to be kicked out of the synagogue. They did not confess Him. That is
God.
Amen. So, no thoughts or questions? All right, so let's close in prayer next week. What to do when